If you want to turn back to Matthew chapter 2, please do. I wonder what Christmas Day and the week ahead, maybe leading up to New Year and so on, the school holidays perhaps, that you're able to enjoy, what makes up some of the time. For us, for many families perhaps, it's a board game sometimes that come out at this time of year. Maybe there's less time to go outside and enjoy the great outdoors if it's a bit cold or wet. Maybe sometimes you're inside, tucked up or warm, and you play a Christmas board game instead. And there's the British classic, the game of Cluedo. I hope maybe some of you played that, either the board game or card game or various versions of it. And in it, there are six people. There's Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum, Reverend Green, Mrs. Peacock, Mrs. White, and Miss Scarlet. And you are one of those characters. You become one of them. And you manoeuvre around the board to ask questions to try and find out the truth of a murder that's happened in this stately home. And you become one of the characters in the game. And you're trying to ask questions as you go to different rooms, trying to find out if the murder happened in that place, using what weapon and who was the murderer in those. The strangest thing about the game, though, is you don't know if you're the murderer or not. You can conduct the investigation and discover at the end you were the murderer, you just didn't know it, which seems a bit daft, really. But there's that little bit of a sort of twist in it. And so you ask the classic questions. It is a whodunit, trying to work out what happened with this crime. And you go around asking questions. Was it Reverend Green with the dagger in the billiard room? That kind of thing. Trying to find out if anyone can give you a clue. And sometimes you discover the truth about yourself. In the end, it's revealed that you were the one who had done it all along. And we're going to look today at the story, well-known story, of the visit of the wise men and some of the characters in it. But perhaps again, as we look at those characters, there can be a little bit of the surprise in it of discovering ourselves in some of those characters who are there. So we're going to think of the Christmas visit of the wise men and play, if you like, a little bit of Christmas Cluedo to see if there are clues in some of the characters we meet who are just like us in many ways. What about King Herod? King Herod with the crown in the palace. He's the arch enemy, isn't he, of the Christmas story. He's almost, we might think, the pantomime-like bad guy in it. But in this true story, it tells us an entirely believable account, which is corroborated, we were thinking last night, with other things we know about Herod from other history books that were written, of this man. He was in many ways the classic evil tyrant. Many of them who have followed in his footsteps, really, in the last 2,000 years. The classic one who seizes power that doesn't really belong to him, who is proud and arrogant, because they've seized that power that really wasn't legitimately theirs. They're constantly paranoid then about any perceived threat there could be. And so was King Herod. He called himself King of the Jews, but he had usurped that position of king. He was actually from Idmir, which was the next country down the road. And he had then become, with the help of some Roman emperors, the king of Judah, the king of Judea. And that's where he was now reigning. But he was constantly petrified. For a powerful man who had armies at his disposal, he was absolutely weak and insecure. He was worried all the time. Any perceived threat, even a paranoid perceived threat, to his reign was met with an iron fist. Many of his loyal generals were executed if they were too loyal and too successful in serving him, in case they were a threat. His beloved wife, who he really did seem to love, he executed her too. Three of his sons he killed. This is the kind of guy he was. And the wise men, unfortunately, are the little stones that start yet another avalanche in Jerusalem and around. The wise men come looking for the one who's been born King of the Jews, the one who really legitimately is King of the Jews. And they ask their innocent question. They come to the obvious place to look for an addition to the royal family. They come to the palace. They ask, who's been born King of the Jews? And we're told in Matthew chapter 2 verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Understatement of the Christmas season. Herod was not just troubled, he was beside himself with fear and worry, with hatred and anger. And all Jerusalem was troubled too, says the Bible verse. You bet they were. Who is for the chop next? The people of Jerusalem had lived through many a period of Herod's trouble. And to hear of this new trouble would have set everyone, would not have given anyone a pleasant Christmas, but rather the opposite. Everyone was afraid of what might happen next. And Herod wants to find out the truth, and he does it. In the end, he finds out that the baby's going to be born in Bethlehem. And in verse 8, the story carries on of Herod. And he, or verse 7, he finds out exactly when the star appeared, sends the wise men on their way, asking them to search and then come back and tell him that he might go and worship him too. But of course, we know the story. It's told us later on, it's revealed in a dream to the wise men, that they should go back a different way and not return to Herod. And another dream is sent to Joseph to tell him that he and Mary and the young child have to escape to Egypt because there's someone who's seeking to destroy the child. Herod hated Jesus. I guess we could say he might not know Jesus exactly by name. He hated, though, this news of this king who'd been born, and he wants to eliminate him. And so the Christmas story has this bitter end to it, as Herod sends his soldiers into Bethlehem and the areas around and kills all the baby boys, 2 years and under. And there's weeping there in Bethlehem and the area around. He's the bad guy of Christmas, isn't he? The evil one, the one who spoils the beautiful story of Christmas. But like we said, how you can play the game of Cluedo and discover at the end you're the bad guy. Could we take a moment with Herod and wonder if we could be the same? Just like in the game of Cluedo, we didn't see until we got to the end and discovered the truth that we were the bad guy in that story. What about here? Herod hated Jesus, the one who was king and saviour. And again, maybe people don't have too much of a problem with a little bit of a light Christmas story of a baby laid in a manger. That doesn't seem too difficult. That doesn't seem too threatening. I mean, babies aren't very threatening, are they? But what about a baby who it is said about him, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He's the one who reigns supreme. He is the one who is the Son of God and who has ever lived and is now been born as a baby but will ever live. And we were thinking on this Sunday just gone, he was the one who came into this world once and will come again. He'll come again on the clouds, and everyone will see the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there are some for whom that is just too much. No, I don't want that. I'm quite happy with a baby in a manger. But somebody who's King of all the kings, Lord of all the lords, one who comes with saving authority. God has sent his only Son into the world as the only Saviour. The only way we might be right with God. The only way we might get to heaven. And that's far too many onlys for some people. Say, no, I don't want that. I want to be free to think about lots of other options too. Maybe you're a bit like Herod. Well, I doubt you hate Christmas. You're here in church on Christmas the Christmas morning. But I don't know. Maybe you were dragged along by somebody else. And you're sitting there rather resentful at the person next door who forced you to come. I don't know. That might be the case. And you've come just to pacify them and just to keep things sweet at the house over Christmas Day. But deep down, you don't want anything to do with the King of Kings. You hate the idea that someone should be in charge. That someone should say what is right and wrong. Someone who should be your king. Someone who should be in the driving seat, on the throne, in your life. And you don't want it. And yeah, you're quite happy to sing a carol or two. But to think of the saviour that you need is one step too far. King Herod didn't want to listen. He wanted to get rid of any thought of this. Anything that troubled his dark dreams. He didn't want this Jesus free to grow up and do whoever knows what later in life and so on. He wanted rid of him. So what about you? Even on Christmas Day, have you looked in your own heart? Are you hating the Christ of Christmas? He's someone you want nothing to do with. He's a threat to you. He would disturb the life you want to live. And you don't want that. You want rid of him. Well, we thought of one character in the story. Well, what about some others? What about the scribes and Pharisees, for example? The scribes and Pharisees with the scrolls in Jerusalem. That's their persona in the Cluedo game, if you like. Herod was in need of religious information. I say he was an outsider. He didn't really know an awful lot about the Jews. He'd come from a country next door. He had his own religion and so on. He hears this news of a king who'd been born king of the Jews. He's troubled. He calls together the chief priests, the scribes, verse 4, and asks them where the Christ is going to be born. Herod knows who to ask. He needs this information. He needs to be able to locate quickly this threat. Get rid of him. Where? Surely you religious experts must know where the Christ is going to be born. And of course, they do. These chief priests, these scribes, they've been schooled in their Bible. They know it. They've read it. They've learnt it as a memory verse. Do you notice? They say to him, in Bethlehem in Judea, as is written by the prophet. They then go on to quote it. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Doesn't even say they looked it up. They knew it off by heart, straight off the top of their head. They could recite a memory verse that they'd learnt ages ago from an obscure book in the Old Testament. And they now know everything they need, don't they? Those chief priests, those scribes, they had known all along where the Christ was going to be born. But of course they didn't know when the Christ would be born. But now they do, because the wise men appear and say, we've seen his star. So now the chief priests and the scribes know where and when the Messiah has been born. Just 10 miles down the road, maybe a little bit less. They could get there on Christmas Day afternoon. They could go and have a nice walk down to Bethlehem and find this one who'd been born. But do they go? No. They stay exactly where they were with the scrolls in Jerusalem. You'd have thought they were longing for this Messiah. They'd learnt all the memory verses about him. And news of his birth reaches their ears. And they can't be bothered to go. They couldn't be bothered. Even though the wise men had journeyed hundreds of miles, they couldn't be bothered to join the wise men in a 10-mile stroll to Bethlehem. Were they strange characters, aren't they? They were quite happy to ignore the King and Saviour who'd been born. They weren't as malicious yet as Herod. They'll wait and see what happened later on in the book of Matthew and so on. But for the time being, they weren't. They weren't particularly threatened. They weren't particularly worried. They just weren't bothered. The Messiah had been born, but they were too busy. In many ways, they were too busy with this kind of thing we see of here. They're called in with Herod. They're in cahoots with him. They like the power that's come, the political sway that they now have in this kingdom. And Herod sort of sees them as being quite an important part in dominating the country. And they're used to that. They have that now. And they don't want to leave that and go on a goose chase to find a baby. They're quite happy to ignore the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's been born. They've just put him to one side. Not interested at all. The Saviour who'd been born, not that bothered. And what about us? I wonder if you've had a cold call this year and someone phones you up out of the blue. It's often really weird at the beginning. You can just sort of hear funny echoes. You're wondering what's happening on the phone. And in the end, they begin to talk and they wish you good day. And you say, oh, yeah, good day. Yeah, nice to talk to you. And you're wondering, what is this? What is it going to be? Insurance? Is it going to be, oh, I don't know, a new tariff on my bill or whatever? And they begin their conversation. And you are trying to end the conversation as soon as possible, aren't you? No, thank you very much. Quick, I've got to get the phone down. I've got to press the red button on it. I don't want to talk to this person. I've got too many things to do. No, thank you very much. I wonder if in 2024, Christ has tried to call you, as it were, on the phone. And Christ has tried to talk to you. And you've been the one who's very quick to end the conversation. No, Jesus. No, thank you. Not today. Down with the phone. No. And there is Christ trying to offer forgiveness and eternal life. No, thanks. I'm very busy today. Ignoring the King and Saviour. Well, Christ calls once again on Christmas Day. Are you listening? What about the Christmas song? Are you a sleigh bells ring? Are you listening? Jesus has come. Are you listening? Jesus promises forgiveness. Are you listening? Or are you ignoring the King and Saviour? Just like the scribes and Pharisees, the priests and the rest of them. For you don't know how many other chances you might get. And so on this Christmas Day, maybe you're here this morning and you're not angry, you're not hateful at me talking about Jesus. You're just not bothered. Quite happy to let that go. Looking at your watch from time to time, surely it must be over soon. And I can get back to the important things. My dinner. My presents. The other things. My time off. Christ calls, the King of Kings, the Saviour of the world. Are you listening? Lastly then, the wise men. The wise men with the gifts in Bethlehem. We thought about these different characters. We thought of the Herod who hated Jesus, the priests, the Pharisees, the scribes who ignored Jesus. Well, these wise men are amazing examples, aren't they, of the opposite. Think of the effort that they went to. Their long journey. We don't know much about these mysterious people. They saw his star in the east and they'd come to worship him. How far they came, we don't really know. Where exactly they came from, how exactly they got there, we just don't know. But they definitely put in some effort, didn't they? They definitely put in some effort with plenty of unanswered questions. Maybe they themselves had lots of unanswered questions too, hence they come asking one to Herod's. But they knew a little bit that the King of the Jews had been born. And so they went. And they crossed the land to get to him. And right at the centre of this story, with all these things we might be fascinated to find out about the wise men, one thing keeps getting repeated. Why have they come? Why have they come? Verse 2, they say, we've come to worship him. Herod borrows their phrase. And verse 9, pretends and plays along. You go and find him. And when you come back, I'll go and worship him too. Well, he borrows their line. And then they go and they carry on their journey. And verse 11, they came to the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Three times we have that word. They came to worship. They came to the child in the house where they lived. And judging from that, and the fact that later on Herod tries to kill everyone aged 2 years and under, we guess that the wise men arrived sometime later than the shepherds. Probably not that same evening, but maybe months later, maybe even more than that. Mary and Joseph are now living in a house they found somewhere, presumably. They can rent or what have you. It's no longer quite a baby, it's now a child. It's a toddler, maybe. It's a year or two old now, a bit bigger than that. And they come into the house where the child was and worship him. And that's quite extraordinary, isn't it? Have you met any 1 or 2 year olds recently? Maybe you've got one visiting for Christmas. Maybe you've been to see family, or you will be later on in the week. And there's in your family, in your extended family, maybe a 1 or 2 year old. Small baby, little toddler, in a family gathering. And what do you do when you meet one? You might cuddle them. You might sit them on your lap. You might read them a story. You might play with them. You might open a Christmas present with them. That's the kind of thing you might do with a little toddler. The wise men meet a toddler and they worship him. They bow down at the feet of a 1 year old or 2 year old, something like that, and worship him. That's extraordinary, isn't it? What they perceived in the limited amount of information they had, that this was no ordinary child. This was the one who'd been born king of the Jews, but they weren't even Jews. They journeyed all this way, even though they came from a foreign country. And now they meet the child. They don't just present gifts. They don't just sort of go down on one knee and say, oh, hail the king. No, they bow to the floor in worship. They recognize somehow that this child was the Son of God. And they gave their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those were kingly gifts, precious gifts that the wise men had brought, spent maybe a small fortune on, bringing these things. They were highly useful as well in God's providence, as it turned out, for Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus have to up stakes quickly and head to Egypt. And actually things like gold, frankincense and myrrh were probably quite an easy way to transport a bit of capital that they could then spend on while they were living in Egypt to provide themselves home and food and rest of it as they might need. So it was just right what God provided. And maybe however much the wise men knew, they represented something too. Gold was a kingly gift. Frankincense in the Bible was always something in the Old Testament that was used in the worship of God. It was the incense that was there in the temple and things like that. Myrrh was a more human thing. It was used as an ointment for medicinal purposes and things like that. It was a sweet-smelling ointment. And it was used too for burial. How much the wise men knew of those things, we don't know for certain. But those gifts represent something of the Lord Jesus, that he's king, that he's priest, and that he's the one who would die in our place. Maybe on this day, Christmas Day, you're very glad the wise men started the tradition of giving gifts. Maybe you'll have, or hope to have, some presents to unwrap today. Well, spare a thought for the wise men who started the tradition. But they gave gifts to Jesus. Not each other, exactly. They gave gifts to Jesus as part of their worship. They fell on their knees and recognized the one who is King and Saviour, Lord and God. They're the first ones to do it in the Gospels. It takes most other people a long time to get there. But that's the revelation that God is going to give over these next pages that you could look at. And on this Christmas day, we thought about their example. Maybe you don't know enough yet. I've got a few Gospels here at the front that we were giving out yesterday. If you want to take one of those away and read a bit more of the Christmas story, you could start it today. And then head on in the next few days and see where the story of Christ takes you. But as it's Christmas Day, and maybe you have some time with your family, maybe you'll play some board games and things like that too. But as we thought of that little game of Cluedo and thought of these characters there in the Christmas story, which one are you? How do we feel today, on Christmas Day, about the Christ? Have we come to worship him as Saviour and Lord? Are we just ignoring him? Are we angry and hateful towards him? What about you? Well, as we discover the truth of Jesus and all he came to do, with soft hearts, willing to come and bow to Jesus and worship him. And as we recognise that greatest gift that God has given, through that, he's the one who gives to us forgiveness and eternal life and a home in heaven. Those gifts that Christ gives to us, but only if we come and worship him and trust him as our Lord and Saviour, repent of our sins and put our faith in the Lord Jesus. And wouldn't Christmas Day be a good day to do that on?